Welcome to For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic. Good morning, Dr. Wendy.
Good morning.
Great to have you back with us. We talk about, we've been pretty heavy on the theme about vision in children, and that's going to be no different today, as we're going to talk about using prism lens therapy as to combat convergence insufficiency and rising myopia in children. I think probably the first thing we should do, Dr. Wendy, is talk about what is convergence insufficiency and what is myopia?
Well, when you go to read, both eyes need to turn in equally in order for the visual system to receive information from each eye. Convergence insufficiency is when the eyes do not both converge together.
All right.
Divergence is looking far away. Your eyes turn out and diverge. So 98% of the kids that I see who come in have one eye that doesn't turn in. Mm. So as you bring a pen toward their nose, you watch the eyes as they turn in. One turns in and one stays straight ahead. Mm-hmm. And that's called convergence insufficiency. And what happens is it causes a lot of problems, a lot of symptoms, as we've talked about some symptoms that kids have, and it causes barriers to reading and learning in school.
Sure.
Because if one eye is looking straight ahead, it gets information from one direction. And if the other eye is turned in, it gets information from the other direction. When that information goes through the nerves and the muscles to the brain gets confused because it can't superimpose it in one single clear image. Mm-hmm. So these kids have difficulty reading. They get headaches. They avoid close work. And the reason they get headaches is they try to force the second eye in, and then the muscles in around the eyes go into spasm, and they get a headache across the forehead.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And usually they get it by lunchtime
because
they're doing a lot of work. Well, with today's world, using computers and anything lit from behind, it causes the eyes to focus on the screen. Then the eyes focus to a point behind, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And so it's working their focusing system much, much harder. And they can use one eye to focus. Mm-hmm. So when we were young, we learned, we had skills all day long in school, different things that we were doing that trained us to converge our eyes and diverge our eyes. Yeah. We would be reading, we'd look up at the blackboard, we'd look up at the sideboard, you'd get up and do a spelling bee. These kids today are looking close constantly.
Right.
And their eyes tend to lock in focus.
Right. So their eyes are kind of being trained to have that insufficiency, right?
Yes. Yeah. And vision is a learned skill, just like walking or talking. And we can train the eyes to work more efficiently. These kids are not doing the normal visual demands that we had in the past that allowed them to become binocular.
Right.
So they're actually monocular. They can use one eye. Mm-hmm. And things got worse during COVID because the kids were on computers for their schoolwork.
Right.
They weren't allowed to go outside. So their fun work was on computers or tablets or phones too. And so what happens is over time, your eyes lock into focus and then you become nearsighted. And that's what happened to me. Now, I'm not convergence insufficiency. Mm-hmm. I'm convergence excess. My eyes turn in too much.
I see.
So I can show you how the eyes should come in. When I bring my finger toward my nose, you see both my eyes turn right in.
Mm-hmm.
And mine turned in too much, but I had the same kind of symptoms. I got headaches. Mm-hmm. I didn't avoid reading. I loved to read. But my eyes locked into focus, and eventually I became nearsighted and I can't see beyond about 3 or 4 inches beyond my nose. So it is a very big handicap, as you well know, having to wear glasses for your whole life.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is prevent these kids from becoming nearsighted, but also to treat them so that they can learn efficiently in school.
And it seems to me that with the earlier and younger use of screens with children, I mean, you see even some children in strollers that are using screens, whether it be a phone or a tablet or something like that. It's very important that children have their eyes checked at a young age.
That's right. And that's why last time we talked about 1, 3, and 5, have the kids' eyes checked at 1 year old at 3 years old and 5 years old, definitely mm-hmm. before they go to school, so that we can address this early so they don't have problems in school.
Exactly. Now, Dr. Wendy, you've been in practice for quite a number of years, mm-hmm. I'm sure, and you've experienced a lot, and you've compiled a lot of records of your patients over the past years, mm-hmm. and you've come up with the somewhat of a report on your findings. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I've been in practice for 36 years. And when I was in optometry school, we do externships where medical doctors do internships. Mm-hmm. So my first externship was in vision therapy at our optometry school in the pediatric unit. And in that environment, we worked with kids mainly, but we had some adults, but we were training their eyes using vision therapy. And vision therapy uses different skills. There is manual vision therapy where you use different images and you hold targets and you move things closer and further away. And we also had automated vision therapy where we worked on a computer. And I have that in my office. I continue to do that. The problem is over the years, insurance companies didn't want to pay for it, mm-hmm. and that created a problem. Mm-hmm. So one of the famous patients that we saw when I was in pediatrics was Danny from the Partridge Family.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of kids who struggle reading become bad actors, and you know he got in a lot of trouble through his life.
Danny Bonaducci.
That's right, and he had a lot of perceptual problems, but we trained his eyes and made a world of difference. He had headaches all the time, but he didn't realize what they were coming from, and we helped him tremendously, and he brought his kids in too, because a lot of times this is inherited.
Sure.
So over the years, in school, we were trained to use prism. Prism is like a triangle, and the light is angles away from the base. So if you put it on the outside of the lenses, it's called base out.
Okay.
If you put it on the inside of the lenses, it's base in, mm-hmm. and then you have base up and base down, both. So this is a horizontal problem. So in school, we were taught to give base in prism, which was a crutch for people who had convergence problems. And so when I first started in practice, I was using base in lenses, but the kids got more nearsighted. They got more, had more symptoms. They had headaches. Mm. And in the computer programming that we do, we train base out and base in. So I started using base out prism, and it was miraculous, the difference. Mm. So we had the kids in, they'd come in twice a week for vision therapy, and they'd do a half hour session on the computer, and we'd train their each eye individually as well as both eyes together. And it works very well, but you do it for 6 month periods and then you go on. But once they learn that, or you remediate their skills, that stays with them. The insurance companies did not want to pay. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I really started doing a lot of prism lens therapy.
Okay.
So the patients have zero correction, no nearsightedness or farsightedness power, but we have prism in the lenses, mm-hmm. which allows their eyes to turn in. And over that time period, I found that 9 out of 10 kids, it jump-started their visual system, and they didn't need the vision therapy.
Wow.
Now, I still have some patients who do vision therapy, too. But I went back through my records, and I stopped at 500 records, and I had many, many more. Over 36 years, you get have quite a...
That's an exhaustive study.
Quite a bit of data. So what we found was that by giving these kids the prism, the base-out therapy, they did not become nearsighted, or if they were tending toward nearsightedness, those symptoms went away.
Wow.
And that was... something that is a backbone of optometry, the vision therapy. But today there's a big emphasis on medical optometry and treating diseases and things. So there aren't a lot of doctors who do that.
Okay.
And so I've been a specialist in that area because I felt the kids needed that because I've gone through the same thing.
Sure.
So as we treated the kids, we found that 100% of their symptoms improved in 2 weeks. And then at 6 months, 98% were prescribed base-out therapy, and it had improvements in symptoms and no myopia. The kids who had the base-in prism, like I said, they had they continued on the same pathway. So we found that in both the objective findings, me measuring for nearsightedness, measuring their convergence, how well their eyes turn in, and their symptoms disappeared. The basin patients didn't improve, and myopia was significantly improved with the base-out prism. So by giving these kids the prism, it relaxed their eyes. Whereas for me, they gave me nearsighted lenses, which added to my overfocusing, and I became more and more and more nearsighted. So I started out at minus 75. Now, the way we measure prescriptions, we go a quarter, a half, 75, and one to a diopter. So okay. It's like a dollar, four yeah. quarters to a dollar.
Right.
So I had 75 cents of nearsighted correction. They gave me that correction, and now I'm six and a quarter. So it wow. continues to improve. When I went to optometry school, it was about 475.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out about vision therapy. So it's very important to train these kids, train their visual systems. And studies often describe near work activities as their time spent reading books and writing with using a pen and paper. These kids don't read books and they don't write with pen and paper.
Yeah.
So we had to detail things according to what they do in school.
Sure.
So I've evolved over time in how I've treated, but I had an adult patient in not long ago that for 3 years, she was having double vision. And see, if one eye sees one thing, one sees something else, you see a double image.
Right.
And as soon as I put prism glasses on her in the office, it was a world of difference. She could not believe it. It's almost magical. When the parents come in, and I always show them how their eyes are converging, then I hold up the prism and show them what the difference is. The kids can feel the difference in their eyes. And years ago, I had a boy in, he was in high school at that time. Kids grow at different rates.
Yes.
If you're going to inherit nearsighted correction, you inherit it in grade school, between second and fourth grade, because those are your first big leaps in growth at those during those time periods. Boys then grow a lot around eighth grade, and so they may grow out of the prism, but then they need it again in eighth grade. And I explained to this boy, he was out of the prism, and I said, now there may be a time, because they were starting to use computers a lot in high school. And I said, there may be a time that you'll come back. He wasn't real thrilled about wearing glasses, because I have them wear them 100% of the time in school, except lunch, recess and gym,
okay.
and then 100% of the time in the house at home. Because if they're watching TV, if they're playing video games, if they're on a tablet, on a phone, they're constantly converging and diverging, and they need to be trained, you know, to keep their eyes relaxed. So he was in 11th grade, and he came in and he said, guess what? I said, what? I need prism again. And he said, I never thought I would say that to you, but I need prism.
Asking
so
for glasses.
So as you use your eyes differently, and kids who go on to college, all of a sudden they have a lot of reading to do, a lot of paperwork. They used to do a lot of paperwork, but a lot more computer work.
Right.
And so that strains their eyes, and they have a difference. So as the kids grow, we need to adjust that amount of prism. Their eyes get longer as they grow, and we need to adjust. So sometimes one eye will need more prism than the other, and we'll increase the prism. And then as they start, their visual system starts to do the convergence on their own, that will back down.
Okay.
But when they go to college or certain occupations that they're in, they use computers tremendously, they will need prism for on the computers.
It makes a lot of sense. We're talking with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt once again on For the Sake of Your Eyes. And this week, the topic is using prism lens therapy to combat convergence insufficiency and rising myopia. And we'll have more in this discussion after this important message.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Vision directly affects how you learn. 80% of all learning during a child's early school years is obtained through vision. 10% of all preschoolers and 25% of kids in kindergarten through sixth grade have vision deficiencies. Many of them are undetected because few children receive comprehensive eye exams. School screenings only pick up 5% of all vision problems. Don't delay. Make an appointment for your child today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020.
This is For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the DuBois Vision Clinic. And Dr. Wendy, you've been giving us some fascinating information regarding prism lens therapy. And you have a survey that has been taken that you want to tell us about now.
Yeah, the Convergence Insufficiency Symptom Survey lists a bunch of symptoms. And we used this during my little study, or I went back through and I took the symptoms that the kids had in their records. And you get a score of how much the symptom bothers them. So the first question is, do your eyes feel tired when reading or doing coursework? And before treatment, the average of the 500 patients had a score of 4. With base out prism, they also had a score of 4. Or I'm sorry, with base in prism toward the nose. But with base out prism, it went to 0. Mm. So their eyes no longer felt tired when they were reading or doing coursework. The second question is, do your eyes feel uncomfortable when reading or doing coursework? Again, it was the same scoring. And with base out prism, it went to 0. Do you have headaches when reading or doing coursework? Again, the scoring was the same. And do you feel sleepy when reading or doing coursework? In these 500 patients before, with base in prism and base out prism, it was 0. Now, some people do get very sleepy when they're reading.
Sure.
And it's because they're using so much energy to focus, it makes them very, very tired. Mm. The next question is, do you lose concentration when reading or doing coursework? Again, it was 4, 4, and 0. Do you have trouble remembering what you have read? 4, 4, and 0. Do you have double vision when reading or doing coursework? And it was 0 in all those positions. Now, these kids ranged from age 5 or 6 to about 18.
Okay.
So the early kids, we got to them soon enough that they didn't have that.
Nice.
The older kids had adapted, so they didn't have double vision.
Sure.
And so we have to break down that adaptation, and that's what we do in vision therapy, and that's why this is called lens therapy.
I see.
So the next question is, do you see the words move, jump, swim, or appear to float on the page when reading or doing coursework? Again, they all had a 4, and with the base in prism, it stayed at 4, and it went to 0. If you remember from last week or last show, we talked about Brooke.
Yes.
And the words moved on the page. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times when you ask these questions to kids, and I have a battery of questions that I ask every child that comes in, and they'll say, well, yeah, they do move.
Right.
But they don't tell anyone because they figure everybody sees the way they do.
They think that's normal.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. Yeah. Do you feel like you read slowly? And none of the kids said they felt like they read slowly, but a lot of these kids did dibbles in school. That was a reading comprehension test that they used to do a lot, and the teachers found that they read very slowly. Once we treat them with the base out prism, their speed picks right up. It's amazing. You put their glasses on them and zoom, they start reading very, very quickly. Do your eyes ever hurt when reading or doing coursework? The same result there. Do your eyes ever feel sore when reading or doing coursework? And again, the kids all had those symptoms. And a lot of these kids will rub their eyes a lot. They do a lot of blinking and they have pain because they're trying to focus. Do you feel a pulling feeling around your eyes when reading or doing coursework? These kids did not have that sensation. Now, sometimes when they first put on their prism glasses, they will have a pulling because it's turning the eyes in. So the lenses are doing the work for them rather than not their eyes having to do it. And that's why the symptoms go away right away, the headache symptoms. Reversals of letters and numbers take some time. But when they look down at the floor, base out prism makes the floor jump up at you. It's a 3D effect.
Wow.
And base in prism makes it go into the floor.
Okay.
So I explained to the kids and the parents that they may have that for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
As they wear the glasses, that disappears. And they're amazed that it does disappear.
It'd be a little jolting at first, though.
It is strange at first. So it's clear but weird.
Yes.
The next question is, do you notice that words are blurring or coming in and out of focus when reading or doing coursework? And they did. And can you imagine trying to read when everything's moving in or out or is double printed on the page?
Yeah.
It's no wonder that they get very frustrated.
Yeah.
And this is also why homework takes so long for them to do. Do you lose your place while you're reading or doing close work? Every single one of them did. And of course, in school, they have you use your finger to follow along. Now, we were taught when we were young not to turn your head to follow. But when you get progressive bifocals down the road, you have to turn your head.
Yep.
You have to change. So you have to have different ways of doing things. And that's why everything has to be targeted to how they use their eyes. And the final question was, do you have to reread the same line of words when reading? And it was unanimous. They all had to do that. So you can see how convergence and sufficiency would affect schoolwork and their regular reading. Now, kids know how to run computers. It used to be funny that VCRs, back when there were VCRs, he'd ask the kids to set the VCR.
Right.
They're very good with technology.
Sure. Yeah.
They know what to do on phones, but their comprehension isn't always good because they don't use both eyes together.
Oh, interesting. Well, we're heading into the final few minutes of today's For the Sake of Your Eyes. When we come back from another important message from Dr. Wendy, Dr. Wendy is going to share some more facts with us about using prism lens therapy, combating convergence insufficiency and rising myopia in children.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. 90% of people who use computers, tablets, and phones complain of digital eye syndrome. It results from focusing on a screen for extended, uninterrupted periods of time. Symptoms include headaches, blurred vision, neck pain, fatigue, eye strain, dry, irritated eyes, and difficulty refocusing the eyes. Solve stress on your visual system. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020. So kids who have autism also are on the same spectrum of having visual perceptual and convergence insufficiency problems, but they also have some sensory problems along with it. So I've successfully treated oodles of autistic kids.
That's great.
And whether they're just mild or more severe. And I had one little boy who had, he was 9 years old and had never talked. We put his glasses on him and he pointed at the doorknob and said, "Doorknob." And his mom about fell over.
I'm sure.
And that is not a generally a normal word that you say for your first word.
Exactly.
I also had another girl who she never talked out loud and she didn't talk. She would talk to her brother. She'd whisper to him and she'd whisper to her mom. But in school, she never talked. Mm-hmm. And we started vision therapy. Mm-hmm. And as we went through the therapy, we were training her visual system. And your vision is 80 to 90% of what you perceive, comprehend, and remember. And your ears are 25%. She was hearing everything, but she wasn't able to process what she took in visually. And the therapist who was working with her, they were talking about pizza, and she told them they got pizza the night before, and she started talking, and she never, ever stopped. So
well,
once,
I'm kind of that way. I can talk about pizza a long time as well.
So once you turn on the vision, everything falls into place.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So this is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes, and you can reach me at 814-371-2020. My office is in the Wrights Complex at 90 Beaver Drive. It's in the back building, Building D. It has a glass door in the front. You go in the front in those doors, and it's the first door on the right. So if your children are having problems or your grandchildren or even adults are having difficulty, please give me a call because there's help that we can give you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wendy, for another fascinating program. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with more on For the Sake of Your Eyes.